Okay, good morning. Well, in the time available, and I'm threatened by these signs next to Ricky Burdett that says stop in 2 minutes, I'm not going to describe in detail the master plan for King's Cross, and rather touch on the issues, which I hope will be relevant to the conversation that follows. So immediately, where is King's Cross? This is a map of quite a lot of central London. Down at the bottom here, you have the Tate Modern and St. Paul's and Westminster. And this is the site sitting in here, the white area right at the centre of this plan. Around this site are three concentric circles, each which measure 10 minutes walk. So from King's Cross itself to the river is a little over half an hour, but from one end of King's Cross to the other end is almost 15 minutes. Closer in, on the A to Z, you see here is the site which lies more or less derelict. I'm not going to refer to Dickens, so I'm happy to discuss it later. But one of the characteristics of the whole area is that you can walk for over 5 minutes up York Way before you find a turning which goes to the left. Then there's another quick turning, and then there's a very long way before something else. So in fact, this is a huge, hermetically sealed area right in the heart of London. This is, or will be, the largest development site in central London. It's a kilometre long from here to here. It falls 12 metres from one end to the other. It's bounded by the sort of pinch point of the two stations and what's known as the CTRL link running through here. And that's the Channel Tunnel Rail link, which is bringing trains to the newly extended St. Pancras station. And in 2007, we're told it'll be 2 hours and 20 minutes from Paris. And the other side of the site is known as York Way, running through here, which is the road I was just describing, with only that one left-hand turn. Now, shall I just go back one? The King's Cross site exists because it is a transport hub in transition. It's where the artery of railway lines linking London with the north, bringing both people and goods, has connected to the capillaries of the local distribution networks of roads, canal and underground railway, which serve the needs of an ever-expanding city. While passenger traffic has continued to increase within the limits of the railway network, the massive increase in the transport of goods has long outgrown the capacity of the site and has since transferred to the national network of roads, leaving redundant and extraordinarily well-connected 27-hectare central London site, which you see here. With the completion of the cross-channel rail link, it'll probably be the best-connected location in the whole of the country. It has two major stations, King's Cross and St. Pancras, and will connect to an expanding European network and our own national intercity system. And it'll link Glasgow and Edinburgh, Manchester and Newcastle and Birmingham with Paris and Brussels and Lille and beyond. It's also the hub for several local networks, including the Thames Link, which will run underground, connecting Luton and Gatwick airports, and it will connect to 6 tube lines and 13 bus routes. And below ground, there's an inherited but improving labyrinth of underground networks, which in a way mirror what has happened above ground. Now, what I'm going to do here is confuse you, because I'm going to turn the map on its side. The first map you had, there's the river, and St. James's Park and Hyde Park, and this is the Euston Road running through here. So north is now to the top of the page. And the reason we do that is to avoid the prominence of the rather stiletto-like pressure of the space between the two stations here and here, and actually to open up the discussion into broader issues of the site itself. So while all these things bring undeniable strategic advantages to its location, it also brings significant difficulties. The advantages which must be exploited are, of course, convenience and proximity. Jobs and homes might only be a few minutes' walk from a major transport hub. The difficulties which have to be addressed stem from the nature of transience, disorientation, and from the scale and disruption of the transport infrastructure itself. The fact that King's Cross St Pancras is a hub means that the majority of people are in fact just passing through. It's not, therefore, for most people, a destination in itself. It is the connector to more local options, with the journey being completed elsewhere. Facilitating these connections is, however, only the first of three very important urban issues affecting all major railway termini. The other two relate to the urban structures surrounding the stations. So the second issue is the point of arrival itself and the connection to the city fabric. In London, of the 12 major stations, we feel by far the best model is Liverpool Street, where the station front negotiates an easy and straightforward connection to its adjacent streets. King's Cross and St Pancras stations face the busy urban motorway of the Euston Road and are sadly disconnected from the equivalent street network. Only a small proportion of the substantial traffic carried by this road, which is running through there, that's Euston Road, has any relevance to the stations or the surrounding streets. The road, which should act as a connector, is a barrier, and the stations are severed from the city. So with these first two issues, the nature of the transport hub and the problems of the station fronts in Euston Road, they are in fact beyond the scope of our direct involvement. But the master plan does, for King's Cross Central, does confront the third. And these are the issues of the above-ground structures and the secure land needed for the operation of the railway. In other words, how the sides and the back of the stations affect the urban fabric. Unless the railway arrives underground, in this case, of course, it doesn't, there is always the problem of massive urban disconnection and blight. So we need to understand how the site has developed. And although we are left with a rich and interesting legacy, the history of the site is one of unplanned competition for land that has been dictated almost entirely by the dimensional engineering requirements of a major transport interchange. So, swinging right back to 1862, there is the Euston Road running just through here, and here is King's Cross Station. The canal arrived 30 or 40 years earlier, running through here. Remember, north is to the side of the plan. And what's happened on the site by 1862 is that the railway line for King's Cross has squeezed itself underneath the canal through a bottleneck to the terminus here, already setting up a series of urban problems, which over 100 years later, we're going to have to solve. Also, there's the goods railhead terminal standing there. 30 years later from that plan is this, which is, you might say, the completion of the King's Cross map. Here again is Euston Road. There's King's Cross squeezing under the canal. But what's happened since is the raised viaduct coming into the upper level of St Pancras. So King's Cross is at grade, St Pancras is raised up with the forward ramp here. And then there are further goods yards anticipating the site of the British Library. But you can see that from an urban point of view, running all the way through here, there is an entirely hermetic zone, completely severing one side of the city from the other. This is how it will be in 2007, where the goods yard has been replaced by the British Library, but the urban fabric has not been improved. And what's happened is that the railheads for goods have been left completely redundant. And you can see this is the main granary building, and this was for coal, reminding you King's Cross and St Pancras. So the legacy of the site is one of redundancy, dominated by the canal running through, with the redundant railheads, the granary building again here. Now this building is, there's a huge amount of kind of inherited heritage wealth. This is the sketch by the watercolour by Cubitt from 1851, which is the same year as the Great Exhibition. And in fact, this particular building, we think, probably represents the world's first intermodal link, where goods would arrive by train and be stored in this warehouse. They'd be dropped down onto horses and carriages, or dropped down within the structure into canal barges and then distributed across the rest of London. What we're left with is a much more picturesque view now, where instead of working, it's pleasure. And there's a great number of interesting silhouettes, including the gas holder structures, which were the tallest cast iron gas holders built in the world. Equally, there are some pretty tough stone canal-side buildings, and a very often intact urban landscape with railway lines and turntables set into the granite sets. Dominating the site, of course, are the two stations. In the background there is the Barlow shed, 74 metres span of St Pancras, and in the foreground is the recently restored German gym, which its interior, we understand, was the place where the first conversations of the modern Olympic movement were held. And of course, King's Cross will only be 10 or 11 minutes from Stratford in the 2012 Olympics, about which you're going to hear more in a moment, or a bit later on. So the context for the site is very complex. There's 33,000 square metres of listed buildings. That's 6 football pitches, 2 Grade 1 listed stations here and here. The canal structure running all the way through the site, the channel tunnel rail link running through here, which produces a more or less impermeable city wall, which is then reinforced at basement level by the presence of the Thames Link tunnels linking Luton and Gatwick airports coming through here. And on the other side, a more or less defunct, but nevertheless busy arterial road. So moving on to the master plan, if I have any time left, is the first move, really, was to link the space between the two stations to a major space in front of forming the sort of centrepiece for the whole of the master plan development. And then, where possible, linking through on east-west connections, and particularly coming through to Islington. The next move was to then link a series of spaces going through the existing goods yards up towards the north. And it's not just from the south to the north, of course, it's from the north to the south. And then to complete the connections back into the city. So that what we're left with is a public realm that is more or less fixed, which is here in beige, and 6 blocks, which are basically the major new city blocks. In turn, they divide into a series of streets and lanes, and then subsequently they divide into a series of building plots, which have all been tested to see if they work, but don't suggest any sense of prescription. The 3 major parts are the sort of public square, which is in front of the granary and the canal, something known as the boulevard, making the connection from the stations to the main space, and then Long Park here, which is 140 metres by 40 metres, separating one side of the northern connection to the other. This road here is a two-way bus street. It's between 17 and 27 metres long, and in fact what we've done is to keep traffic in the streets as far as possible, because we think cities are safer because of that. The ground floor uses, which is one rule, we've tried to keep as dominant as possible and as mixed. And of course those uses then add a kind of vibrancy. This is now moving out. Here is the site. And maintaining those connections back through into the existing city. But you can see in terms of the dryness of the ground floor uses of the surrounding areas, there's a lot of room for manoeuvre and distance to go. And the 2 slides here, one is a comparator between the existing sort of capillary network of the urban fabric. There's Euston Road, that's King's Cross, St Pancras and Euston Station here. And this is what it will be like in a few years' time, leaving a number of problems still to be solved. Height's an issue. It was never an option to go tall because we're in the 2 major viewing cones down to St Paul's. And this has produced a framework for a plan which has suggests an overall height, but it does not prescribe any kind of architecture. That architecture is not prescribed, but flexibility is. And the intention is that this is the site as it is today, and this is the cross Channel rail link coming through into St Pancras. And the aim, when it's complete, is that this mid-rise scheme, and there's about 50 buildings, over 50 buildings in the whole of this area, will both connect back into the existing city. Coming round the view, it will produce a major public space dominated by the canal, linking the north with the south. And seen from the south, will connect the hub of the two stations back to this new major development in London. And we hope in the end that although this is a sort of speculative view of the future A to Z, that it will be completely connected to Islington, although it's actually politically part of Camden. But it's already suggesting that while the connection of the hub of King's Cross and St Pancras down to the underground network and the bus network and so on will be complete, and this the goods lands themselves will be developed, that it then leaves the point of arrival in Euston Road as a completely open-ended question. Thank you. I'm going to stop now.